Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John and the chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want to read just a few verses of the chapter at this point. And let us turn, therefore, to John 4. And we'll read the opening part of the chapter, beginning at verse number 1. John chapter 4 and the verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And we'll just stop there. We'll end our reading at that point, and we know that the Lord will bless the reading of these verses to our souls. It's on verse 6 I want to focus your minds, but we will look at other verses as well by the help of the Lord. But verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It's those words, Jesus being wearied with his journey, that I wish to leave with you tonight. And so in these verses, or in these words, we read of his journey. And that is a journey that the Lord took. It was a journey that began in Judea, and more specifically, in the area of Jerusalem, the holy city. It was a journey that was destined to take Christ all the way to Galilee, as it eventually did, as we learn from verse 43 of the chapter, where it says he departed thence, that is from Samaria, and went into Galilee. Now the Lord's ministry was to a very large degree of an itinerant nature. And you know what that means? He was always on the move, always going here, there, and yonder in his labours. For 3 years he traversed the length and the breadth of the land, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. His labours, we may rightly say, were both rural and urban. In other words, the multitudes gathered in the wide open spaces to hear his preaching. But he also ministered in every city and village, as we are told in the gospels, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. In a real sense, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ was essentially a missionary. I believe the words of Peter tell us this. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, for God was with him. Notice the detail there, that he went about. He went about doing good. And that means that he travelled, he journeyed, he carried the gospel, he sowed the good seed in every place that he, where he set his blessed foot. And so this reference in John 4 verse 6 to his journey brings before us an example of the missionary ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This journey that's in view here that the Lord took sets a pattern that has been followed by countless servants of God down through the generations of time, missionaries of the cross, the vast majority of them being unknown actually in our days, and indeed maybe throughout all time altogether, because there have been so many who have served the Lord as missionaries whose names are not recorded and whose labours nobody really knows anything about. It's the outstanding ones that we know about, and that's fine and that's good to be able to hear of Livingstone and Robert Moffat and others as well whose names spring to our minds as we think about missionary work. We rejoice that the pattern that's here is still being followed out in this world as the Lord himself furnishes his church with men and women both to take their journeys and carry the gospel across the face of the earth. And so before us, we have Christ's missionary journey into Samaria. It is good to remind ourselves of such a journey as we have this deputation meeting tonight with regard to missionary work in the country of Nepal. And I want just to, I trust, encourage your hearts and stir up your souls afresh concerning missionary work as we have this deputation meeting by drawing your attention to three very simple points about the Lord's journey that we see in this verse and the surrounding context. Now, the first thing I want us to consider is the will in his journey. I refer to his doing the will of his Father. Now, if you will turn to verse 34, and in that verse you read certain words. Verse 34, you will see what I mean by the will in his journey, or in relation to his journey. It says, Jesus saith unto them, unto his own disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And so, we find here, in these words, the Lord himself referring to the will of the Father, and his surrender to his Father's will. And in those words, the Lord underlines two issues about the Father's will. The issue of compulsion, because he speaks in verse 34 of his will, or the will of him that sent me. The will of him that sent me. There was a compulsion in the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ. The compulsion to do the will of the Father. And of course the will of the Father that's in view here is really and truly the will of the triune God. The Father stands as the representative of the Godhead, the representative of the Trinity, the will of the Father. And the reference here, therefore, is to the will of the Father in the context of the covenant of redemption, in which the Lord stood as the mediator. So when he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, he's talking about his position as the mediator within the whole context of the covenant of redemption. The Lord undertook that blessed role of being mediator. He came into the world in that capacity. He continually acted under that redemptive compulsion. That compulsion came on him, even therefore in his journey through Samaria. That is the framework, therefore, for every servant of God, the redemptive purpose of the triune God. I will not major in that, but it's a vital truth that all of us need to keep in mind. Why is there missionary endeavor? Why does God send forth people still into this world? And thank God he does, and he's still doing that. It's because of his redemptive program. And the Lord went forth into Samaria on this journey in that setting, the mediator of the covenant, going out as a redeemer, traveling through Samaria, doing a mighty work in Samaria. He felt this compulsion within his soul, the will of him that sent me. And then if you look at those words again in verse 34, it said there are two things there about this matter of the will of the Father in Christ's journey. There not only is the compulsion, there is the consummation. The closing words of verse 34 are these, and to finish his work. And so the Father's will was to be consummated, brought to completion in the death of Jesus Christ, by which the full salvation of his people was guaranteed. Those are wonderful words. And to finish his work, aren't they familiar to us? We major much on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks of it here. He speaks of it often, especially in John's Gospel. Think of John 17 verse 4 where he says, where he says that he has finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Or John 19 verse 30, that great cry from the cross, which is really one word, finished. And so, when he spoke about it in John 4, in relation to going to Samaria, and as he referred to this matter of a certain will being exercised by him in his journey, this is what it means. This matter of the compulsion that he felt within himself and the consummation of it all as he came to the end of his ministry and he finished the work that the Lord had given him to do. And therefore, what a framework we have for all missionary enterprise. Every true missionary feels this same compulsion. He is convinced that out in the nations there is a people who are Christ's people, who are to be gathered in. They have been redeemed by His blood. And yet it is through missionary endeavour that they're going to be found, that they're going to be reached, that they're going to be brought in. And that compulsion fills the souls of all those whom the Lord sends forth. There's no doubt about that. They've got this overwhelming burden like the Lord had. That's the remarkable thing. Christ had it, but so does every missionary. No, we don't have it to the same degree as Christ. But it's the same burden, the same compulsion. And every true missionary will eventually come to the point of finishing the work that the Lord has given that missionary to do. That's the will in this journey. And take note of that. The second thing is the way in his journey. Now look at verses 3 and 4. John 4, verse 3 and verse 4. It says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Or it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. And so there is a way in view here with regard to his journey. Yes, in the physical sense, there was a specific way that he was to take at this time, and that was to go through Samaria. You see, Christ did not operate randomly, but rather in a very specific manner. He followed a set way, a set path of service. We see this over and over again. You study the life of Christ in the Gospels, and you will find that there were great journeys that he took. He would take one and finish it and then start all over again. And it's a wonderful study just to look at the journeys of the Lord that he took when he was here in this world, in that really a small area of this world, what we call Israel today. He hardly ever ventured outside the pale of Israel. There just was one time that the Lord went beyond the border. And so if you find that, or you know what that is, tell me. Well, you can't tell me afterwards, but let me know sometime, and I'll tell you if you're right or not, because there's just one time the Lord went outside the border of Israel. But anyhow, the way in his journey. Pray for personnel like that. The Lord knew where he was going. He knew exactly where the will of the Father we've talked about was going to take him. And therefore the way in his journey is very important. He must needs go through Samaria. And therefore I say, pray for personnel who know the mind and the will of God as to where they are to be. Who will pray like Saul to begin with, Saul of Tarsus. What wilt thou have me to do? Lord, show me the place. Show me the region. Show me the land, whatever it might be. Make that clear to me, Lord. Because you see, there is a way that every true servant of Christ is to take. There is a place to which every missionary is to go in the physical dimension, and that we must take heed to that. But then there's a way in his journey in the spiritual sense as well as the physical sense. It was necessary, it says, for him to go through Samaria. Why? Well, there was a sinner to be saved. That's really what's in view when it says he must needs go through Samaria. Yes, there was the way in the sense of where he was to be, the path he was to follow, the way in that sense. But it was more than that. It was essential. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria because there was a woman who needed a Savior. And almost immediately the Lord met her once he was into Samaria. Verse 7. Of course the Lord knew all about her. Not that he didn't know who he was going to meet or whatever. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And the whole conversation then opens up, and eventually her conversion is the result. Look at verse 28, 29. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so she's converted. Those words signify that she was converted. And her conversion led to the great awakening that's described in verses that follow, like verse 39, many of the Samaritans of the city believed. In verse 41, many more believed. Wonderful words. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see that still in our day and time? Many believed, many more believed. And so the way in his journey was not only physical, in terms of a place and so on, but it was spiritual. There was a goal. And here is the way that characterizes the journeys of the servants of God. It's the way of evangelism. It's the way of winning souls, the lost souls. It's the way of gathering in the harvest. That's the way that's in this journey. That's the dominant mark of the journey the Lord took. To see one sinner saved to begin with, and yet he had more plans to save a whole city. And through that one, that first convert, that's exactly what took place. Third thing, and the closing point is this, the weariness in his journey. It says in verse 6, as I said, which is the focal point of our thoughts tonight, it says, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. You know, those words struck me yesterday morning. I was reading in John's Gospel. And as soon as I read them, in a strange way, they were a great comfort to my own heart. Jesus wearied with his journey. We have in that a reminder of the Lord's humanity. The Lord grew tired. Lord grew weary. We read in this chapter as well, he was thirsty. We read also in many places that he grew hungry and so on. All those physical features that tell us of the real humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the weariness in his journey is a reminder to you and to me this night that our missionaries are but human. They are flesh and blood. They need our constant prayerful support. They get weary with their labors and their journeys. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples on one occasion. Come ye apart and rest a while. Come ye apart and rest a while. God's servants can't keep going on all the time. And that is especially true, I feel, of our missionaries, because they're away from home. They are maybe facing peculiar circumstances that we don't face at home, although we have our share. But they face situations that we will never face. And we must keep this in mind, because the weariness in the Lord's journey, he felt it, and they feel it. And therefore, take them upon your heart as a reminder to us of the Lord's humanity. But you know, those words are also a reminder to us, the weariness in his journey, of the Lord's humiliation. His weariness points to the burden that the Lord Jesus willingly took on him and carried in the days of his flesh. He submitted himself to weariness, actually, as a part of his humiliation. It's an indication. I want you to see it this way and think about it. It's an indication, these actual words, he was weary in with his journey. It's an indication that he was under the curse. That he had come into the world which is cursed. A fallen world, a sinful world, and a world that is opposed to the gospel and ridicules the gospel and rejects the gospel. And think of what Paul says in Hebrews 12, he suffered the contradiction of sinners against himself. You know what it means to contradict somebody? It means to speak against. And the Lord had that awful experience. And his soul was weary with it. And he was weary with the burden that pressed upon him with regard to his place as I said earlier, the mediator of the covenant and all of that involved and the awful load of sin that he already felt. He felt it from the very beginning of his time in this world. He felt the load of sin that was going to come upon him. And therefore, he was someone who was weary, burdened in his journey, even into the land of Samaria. Think of what Paul says in Philippians 2. It sums it up. Those words in verses 8 and 9, where he talks about the Lord and he says of Jesus Christ that he humbled himself. There's his humiliation. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so, what weariness the Lord felt. And as I've been saying to you, missionaries grow weary. As all of the Lord's people, the Lord's servants do. But the great consolation is, here it is. You ought to see this. He's weary with his journey. The Lord knows what weariness is. He experienced it voluntarily and willingly. He undertook to feel it and experience it for your sake. Because he's therefore able to sympathize with you out of his own experience. And that's how we're to pray for our missionaries, among other things that I mentioned tonight. Missionaries grow weary. Said it already, and I repeat it. They do grow weary. And therefore, they need to be prayed for on this basis, that our great high priest will just come alongside them, and he will touch them, and he will lift the load. He experienced the load for our sakes, to sympathize with us, and the knowledge of his sympathy, what a consolation, what a cordial to the soul. That's how it struck me, as I say, when I was reading this yesterday. Great encouragement. The Lord grew weary. And therefore, he comes out of that experience to lift our load. Are you weary tonight and maybe burdened down some way or other, feeling the awful heat of the day, as we say? And certainly, we live in strange times that cause us all to get a bit weary. But Christ grew weary. You're not alone. Therefore, look to him to come alongside you tonight. Pray to him to come alongside our missionaries and lift the burden from their hearts and give them grace and comfort by his Spirit, by his presence. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts tonight as we've looked at the Lord's journey into Samaria.